there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News for Wednesday, June 8th, 2011. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles, Ohio. Private investigator Susan Daniels will be my guest today. We'll discuss Barack Hussein Obama's fraudulent use of a Connecticut Social Security number issued to a person born in 1890. Make sure you share this program with your friends and share a copy with your representative and U.S. senators in Congress, and send a copy to the FBI and Homeland Security, too. And while you're sending out copies, mail a copy to the federal judges and U.S. prosecutors. Maybe we'll find at least one patriot in the U.S. government who will demand that this street hustler be arrested, prosecuted, convicted, and imprisoned. First, let's take a quick look at today's world headlines before Susan joins me. The first news story is directly connected to what I will discuss with Susan Daniels, namely the powerful secret shadow group that is behind the rise of power of Barack Obama and the cover-up. The Bilderberg Group is meeting in Switzerland this week. 130 of the world's most powerful men and women are gathered in the ski resort town of St. Moritz. Don't expect to hear Fox News or CNN or BBC report from the event. It's a top-secret meeting. The sissy reporters dare not tell the truth. Their masters forbid them from mentioning the words Bilderberg Group. Presidents, kings, prime ministers, corporate chieftains, and media barons will discuss world affairs in total secrecy. Decisions will be made. Most likely, the new IMF chief will be chosen this week. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the socialist Frenchman, was a regular participant in the annual meetings. Fortunately, he may be headed to prison for rape. The European Union scheme was hatched in the Bilderberg Group meetings in the 1950s. Bill Clinton was tapped in 1991 to replace George Herbert Walker Bush. Donald Rumsfeld was told in 2002 he had the okay to invade Iraq. Valérie Giscard-Gestagne unveiled the European Constitution at the 2003 Bilderberg Group secret meeting. Hillary Clinton dropped out of the Democratic Party presidential race in June 2008, days after she and Obama were summoned to Northern Virginia, where the Bilderberg Group was convening. Now, it's time that Christians pray militant prayers to Almighty God to spiritually oppose the evil schemes of this cabal. Will you join me, starting today, to pray that this year's Bilderberg Group secret meeting will be a total failure? The meeting ends on Sunday. We serve a mighty God, so why don't we call upon him for divine assistance against these powerful forces of darkness? Starting today, I will pray without ceasing throughout Sunday that God will disrupt the Bilderberg Group meeting. Pray the scriptures against them. Pray that God will send confusion and backbiting and dissension into their camp. They are the enemies of the gospel. Ask the God of Israel to break their backs politically and financially. Let there be fighting and arguing and division and strife among their ranks this week. Let there be an earthquake in Switzerland this week. Pray that there's a power failure and the lights go out. Pray that a water line or a sewage pipe bursts open inside the hotel. Pray that waiters and waitresses and maids will get their hands on Bilderberg documents and sneak them out of the hotel and give them to the whole world to read. Pray, pray, pray against this group. Wage spiritual warfare against them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Don't be bashful or timid in your prayers. These men and women serve Lucifer. Pray for the salvation of their souls. but pray for the failure of their schemes. Der Spiegel in Germany reporting today that Germany's finance minister warned that the IMF and the European Central Bank of the possibility of a Greek government bankruptcy. He conceded that the bailout has failed. He called for a restructuring of Greek national debt, which means some or all bondholders may get a haircut. He admitted that the Greek government needs billions of euros to avoid bankruptcy. European central bankers are warming up to the idea of having private investors share the burden of rescuing Greece. That means the bondholders will get a haircut. They're not going to get paid in full for loaning money to the Greek government. Also, Barack Obama hinted at a possible IMF bailout of Greece today, which means U.S. taxpayers will get a haircut in order to bail out the socialist Greek government. Remember the famous words of Margaret Thatcher, who said, "The problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money." Be prepared for turbulent financial waters in August and September. Republican congressional leaders are hinting they may force Obama's hand in the standoff regarding the U.S. national debt ceiling. Obama is refusing to seriously cut federal spending. So Republicans are suggesting they may vote down the bill that would raise the debt ceiling above $1.4 trillion. Timothy Geithner says the vote must happen by August 2nd, or Washington will run out of money. Some Republicans say the idea of a technical default, delaying payment of U.S. debt for days or weeks, could force Obama to cut spending. A Bank of China official warned today that a U.S. default is playing with fire. Somebody else who's playing with fire is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The Islamic leader dispatched an unknown number of Iranian submarines into the Red Sea to gather intelligence on U.S. and Israeli warships. Also, Ahmadinejad is accusing the U.S. of plotting to take control of Pakistan's nuclear arsenal. And weapons expert Gregory Jones said that the International Atomic Energy Agency data shows that Iran may be only 2 months away from possessing a nuclear bomb. That puts us in August of 2011, the same month I think the U.S. could go into some very turbulent financial waters. So be ready for fireworks later this summer. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News. Let's take a break. When I come back, investigator Susan Daniels will be here to talk about Obama's fraudulent use of a Connecticut Social Security number.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
No matter how old you are, if you're a believer, studying God's Word is going to lift your spirit and help you grow. Here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
You know, I've been reading the Word of God since before I was 12 years of age, and I've been reading it day after day after day and studying it year after year after year after year. And you know what? One of the things I'm so excited about is every time God brings me to a passage of Scripture, I get excited about what am I going to learn new. What is it in God's Word? Because it's like it's fathomless. There's no end. There's no bottom to it. And to keep learning things about God, you want something to stimulate your life and to stir you up, you get in the Word of God, and you see every person can do that and cost you a dime to do that. You get in the Word of God and say, "Lord, I want you to speak to my heart today. Give me a passage," or maybe if you happen to be one of those persons who's reading through the Bible, remember that you're not just reading through the Bible so you can say you did. You're reading through the Bible to discover God in a new perspective, in a new way. Always learning, whether you're listening or whether you're watching by television or whether you're listening to the radio, always listening to learn something. How can I apply the truths of God's Word in my life? What is it that you want me to learn? Always learning. If you're going to stay young and fruitful all your life, you got to keep on learning.
Well, welcome back to True News. I'm Rick Wiles. Yesterday, Georgia Congressman Paul Brown was my guest, and I asked the congressman why nobody in Washington will ask Barack Obama to voluntarily submit himself to running his identity through the federal government's E-Verify system. Now, I'll tell you this. Congressman Brown told me off the air that the congressional leadership in Washington simply will not deal with questions about Obama's identity. It was clear from his comments that the subject is off limits in Washington. Now, personally, I believe the top Republican Party leadership is involved in the cover-up of Obama's true identity. They know he's a plant. They also know who planted him. And they're either willingly participating in the cover-up or they're too scared to expose it. Now, whether you want to admit it or not, there is a dark, sinister shadow network that is orchestrating events in the world to move the global population into embracing a world government. It is a revived pre-flood world government, the global power system that ruled the planet after the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden and up to the time of the great flood of Noah's age. It's trying to emerge from the dark corners of the world system, and I don't know how long God will restrain it. That's only something God knows. But someday the restraint will be removed, and this Luciferian government will quickly seize control of the entire planet for a brief time. The good news is it'll be destroyed when Jesus Christ personally returns to crush this new world order under his feet and establish a world government of righteousness. Again, how long it until it happens, I don't know. You don't know. None of us knows. God is able to hold this thing back for many, many years. We may discover we are living in that time. It's going to happen. We just don't know. But I believe that is what is trying to emerge. That is the center of this power structure that is in the world. Now, right now, there is a gathering of the global elite in Switzerland that starts on Thursday. It's the Bilderberg Group. Approximately 150 of the most powerful men and women in the world are in St. Moritz, Switzerland, for this year's top secret conference. Most likely the next IMF chief will be chosen this week behind closed doors. Now, I'm mentioning the secret meeting because in 2008, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were slugging it out in the Democratic primaries for the presidential nomination. They were tied. But Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Obama were summoned to a private meeting in Northern Virginia in June of 2008. By coincidence, the Bilderberg Group was meeting in Northern Virginia, too, on the same day. Days later, Mrs. Clinton dropped out of the race, and Barack Obama was crowned the winner of the Democratic Party nomination. The rest is history. Now, we have in the White House a man who cannot prove his identity. We have a man who has no past. People with great power and money and influence are covering up for him. Politicians know he is the chosen one of the elite, and they dare not oppose him because they would be opposing the elite. But I'm going to tell you right now, I will not stop. I will shout until my dying breath that Barack Obama is an imposter. This man must be exposed. He is a threat. He is an enemy to the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America. And as a patriot and as a Christian, I have a duty to oppose this man. I have a righteous duty and responsibility as a pastor to expose this wicked man. He's a criminal. And my Bible says in Psalms that King David rose early in the morning to chase the criminals out of the city. That's why I'm staying on this case, because the man in the White House is no George Washington. He's no Abraham Lincoln. He is no Theodore Roosevelt. He is no John F. Kennedy. I don't even think this man is an American. He is a plant. He's here to destroy our republic. And I have an obligation as a pastor, as a Christian, and as an American patriot, I have an obligation to expose him, to oppose him, even if it costs my life. because that is what is at stake here, the future of our nation and the future of our children and our grandchildren. So I will not stop, and I will use this radio platform. I'll use every platform I can get my hands on to shout the truth about this man. Well, Ohio-licensed private investigator Susan Daniels is also on this case, and she's not stopping either. I've asked her to come back on the program, and we're going to review the facts that she has uncovered as a licensed private investigator, licensed by the state. If she makes false allegations of criminal activity against a citizen, she would lose her license. She would lose her livelihood, and she could possibly be prosecuted for using databases that are only accessible to people in law enforcement agencies. Because she is a licensed private investigator, she would face prosecution, I believe, if she falsely used those private databases to make false accusations against a private citizen, especially against the President of the United States. So I don't believe this woman is going to risk her career, her reputation, her livelihood, even going to jail. I think she's found something, and I've asked her to come back on the program, and we're going to stay on top of this thing until some men and women in Washington find some calcium in their back instead of jello and get the courage to demand an independent prosecutor bring Barack Obama in and swear him in under oath to tell the truth about his identity. Susan Daniels, welcome back to True News.
Oh, hi, Rick, and thank you for having me back.
Well, I think you can tell I'm a little fired up about it today.
Oh, good. Somebody needs...
Well, we need to be on top of this thing, Susan, because officialdom in Washington refuses to do its responsibility. The media refuses to do its responsibility. I believe the media is in on it. I believe they're covering up for this guy. And the scary thing is I think there are people, well, I've actually talked to citizens when I've talked to them privately and told them things that you have found and others, and they've just shrugged their shoulders and said, well, what are we going to do about it? He's our president. I guess that's what we've got. And I'm like, are you serious? You're willing to accept an imposter, a criminal? Because he was put in there and you don't know what to do about it? This is really serious, Susan. This has never happened in the history of the Republic. Yep. That a man has been in the White House that a sizable portion of the American people have serious questions about his identity and his past.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And what people ought to be doing is they ought to be calling their congressman and telling them, you either start looking into this guy or you're not going to get my vote ever again, or the votes of my family, my friends, my neighbors. Because that's what they most fear, is losing their position in the government.
I agree. Well, let's talk about the things that you have found as a licensed private investigator. And we'll point out, as you have in the past, that private investigators have access to certain databases that the general public cannot access.
That's correct.
And you have to use it with great care because you're licensed by the state.
Right.
And so you just can't go digging into people's private lives without a reason, and you can't make public accusations against people without being able to back up what you've said.
I'd be crazy if I did.
That's right.
As I've said before, I mean, why would anybody make allegations against the President of the United States if you can't back up with documents what you're saying?
All right. Is this number 042-684-4425? Again, it's 042-684-4425. Is that the Social Security number used by Barack Hussein Obama?
Yes.
Is it his real Social Security number?
I don't believe so.
Why?
Well, because he was working as a kid in Hawaii at a Baskin-Robbins store, and he would have had to have a Social Security number from there to work there.
How do you know that 042-684-425 was not issued to him in Hawaii?
Because it's a number that was set aside for the residents of Connecticut. All numbers for residents of Connecticut go from 040 to 049.
Is it possible there was some type of glitch on the day young Barry Satoru Barack Hussein Obama filled out his Social Security application and sent it in? Could there have been a glitch?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because, and it's still on the Social Security website, it said if you are over the age of 12 and have never had a Social Security number, you must appear in person.
You have to appear in person.
Correct.
And what was his age when he applied?
He got this Social Security number allegedly in March of 77, and he would have been 15 years old.
And so do we have record that he applied in person anywhere?
No.
We don't know.
Nope.
Okay, but he was working as a counter clerk or in the kitchen of Baskin-Robbins ice cream.
That's part of his...
That's the story. That's the story.
Yep.
But is there anyone in the world that remembers working with young Barack Obama making ice cream cones?
I have never seen that. I mean, it's certainly possible, but whether he worked there or not, there is no reason when his half sister Maya has a Hawaiian Social Security number, why doesn't he?
His half sister, older or younger than him?
I think she's about 6 years younger.
Okay, but she has a Hawaiian Social Security number.
Correct.
You know, I've often thought, and I've brought this up since 2008, that no one comes forward to say, I was Barack Obama's friend in school. I played on the playground with him. I played baseball with him. I played basketball with him. I went to the movies with him. No young lady say I was in love with him. I had a crush on him. Where are these people?
Well, there's people that have come forward that went to Punahou with him.
And they called him Barry.
Right. And and in Occidental, while he was there, I understand he was thrown out of there. You know, they like to pretend that he graduated from there, but I don't think that's the truth. I believe he was thrown out.
We don't know, do we?
No. No, because nobody's talking.
No diploma.
Not that I've ever seen.
No college records.
Well, the one that's really staggering to me is Columbia, where people who were supposedly in the same grade, majoring in the same thing, not a single person was ever found that knew him.
I know.
I think George Stephanopoulos talked about that they had interviewed 400 people from Columbia that were there at the same time, and not a single one of them knew him. I don't think he ever went to Columbia.
And look at when he brought out the fake birth certificate last month, the digital image, the family of the doctor whose name appeared on the birth certificate, they said, wow, we didn't know our dad delivered the president of the United States. He never told us. Of course, the doctor is dead. Conveniently, he's dead.
Right.
So we can't ask the doctor about the day he held little baby Barry in his arms and wiped his little face.
Well, and the thing is, there was at one point earlier on, it was a Dr. Sinclair that was on this one. But in the past, there were stories about somebody named Dr. West was the one who was supposed to have delivered him.
Well, I guess it was such a big occasion, they brought several doctors in that day. They were delivering the anointed one.
Well, the thing that gets me is it claims he was born at Kapilani. I can't imagine why that hospital wouldn't have an enormous plaque bragging about the fact that the President of the United States was born there.
Yeah, you would think that in the maternity ward, the room that Ann Dunham laid on the bed and little baby Obama was there in the cradle. You would think that would be a federal shrine right now.
Oh, I mean, it, talk about a dream marketing scheme. You know, the president was born here.
They don't know. Nobody will actually come out and say he was born here.
Well, and that's not only that. At one point, somebody had offered $100,000 to anybody that would come forward from the hospital, a nurse, a janitor, another patient that would come out and say, you know, give information about it. Not a single person stepped forward.
Kapalani Hospital neither confirms nor denies
right.
that Obama was born there. They're simply silent.
Right.
So when somebody takes the Fifth Amendment, because that's basically what they're doing here, they're just
right.
saying, we're no comment.
Raises lots of questions.
Because you can't prosecute them because they have not made a statement.
That's right.
They simply are letting other people make the statement.
Right. That's exactly right.
Very fishy. I want to read this number again. And for the FBI and Homeland Security and the Immigration Office and everybody else, I hope you're listening. Write this down, FBI. 042-68-4425. Social Security Administration. I hope somebody from the Social Security Administration in Washington is listening. Run this number through your system, 042-68-4425, and tell us if this is a legitimate Social Security number issued to a young boy in Hawaii named Barack Hussein Obama. I'd like someone from Homeland Security, the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, somebody call us and say, Rick, get off of it. Look, that's the president's real Social Security number. You shouldn't be reading it on the radio. I'm going to continue reading it on the radio until the moon turns to blue cheese. This guy is a crook.
Yep. Well, on March 31st, I sent letters to Astru at the Social Security Administration, to Eric Holder, and to several of their minions. And I said it, that somebody needed to investigate why he was using a number that, you know, that obviously did not belong to him, that he was, you know, 15 in Hawaii at the time. Why does he have a Connecticut Social Security number? I said, you know, it's a fraudulent, and he's using it. And about, probably 6 weeks later, I got a response from one of them. And it was a very terse letter, and it said, we disagree with your conclusions.
Susan, now this would be really, this would be a lot of fun, be risky. What if I go into our payroll records here at True News?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to pay our payroll taxes to the IRS.
Yeah.
Or they'll come in. Confiscate everything.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we're a church, they will come and they'll lock you down. They'll take everything. All right. What if I change my my legitimate Social Security number and I'll just replace it with 042-68-4425 and I'll start paying my payroll taxes in my name with that number? What possibly could happen?
Well, I'll tell you what, the number he uses, I have a copy of the first page, somebody sent it to me, of his 2009 tax filing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the number that's on it.
It is on his official tax filing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what if I use it? The IRS is going to have to come here and do something with me, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they haven't done anything with him. Why would they bother you?
Well, because can you allow, what if 10,000 Americans started using his Social Security number? Well, I'm serious. I'm proposing that we start doing some aggressive militant things in this country.
I that's what it's going to take, because you can see, I mean, when John Boehner became the Speaker of the House, I sent to him a letter with documents. I sent to Daryl Issa in California, Derek Canner, to my own congressman. Never heard a word back from any of them. even though they had made all these promises about all these things they were going to do.
Oh, they won't touch it.
Off limits,
Susan.
That's right.
They're either in on it or they're scared. They know the power that put him there, and they're not
going to challenge it. They understand the power that put him there.
Okay, now you sent me some documents, and I've got them here in my hands. These are official documents that you ran as a private investigator.
Right.
The one is the Social Security number. Can I say the database, the verifier? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, because it's just a Social Security verifier. That's not the number. That's not the name of the
database. Not the database. All right, I don't want to give out anything. So it says Social Security number verifier plus, and you ran the number 042-684-425, and it says, now this is the actual, I have it in my hands here. This is the actual database printout that you had as a private investigator. It says years and state issued. Years issued, 1977 to 1979. State issued, Connecticut. Social Security Death Index, SSN, not found in Social Security Death Index. What does that mean? Does it mean that the person hasn't died?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now this gets strange because it says names associated with Social Security number. Obama Barack Hussein. Dates of birth associated with Social Security number. 1890, mm-hmm. August 4, 1961, and then 4-8-61. So is that
the foreign way of doing it.
Yeah, the European.
Yes.
Yeah, the Europeans would say the right way of doing it. So they have it as 080461 or 040861, but it also says 1890.
Yes.
Well, how could this number be associated with someone in 1890 and 1961?
It couldn't. My theory is that this number was originally assigned to somebody that was born in 1980. Social Security did not start until 1936, and it was voluntary, so people did not have to get a Social Security number. A lot of people never did. Including, like, my grandparents. But what I believe happened is in 1977, when this person would have been 87 years old, that they needed it for medical care. Because I believe it was somebody that could not afford, that got sick, didn't have any kind of medical coverage, and to get it through the government, you would need a Social Security number. Now, I can pin down the month that number was assigned, and it was March of 1977. And the reason I can do that is because I have copies of the applications for the people, one number before his, 4424 and 4429. And the reason I have those is because both those people are deceased. And once you die, there is no expectation of privacy. And both of them got their numbers in March of 77.
Okay, so whose birthday was 1890?
I don't know. If only I knew that. I've tried for 2 years to figure out how to find it. There's no way to.
So this is somebody that has been dead for quite some time.
Right.
Even if they lived to be 100 years old.
Right.
They've been dead for a number of years.
Well, it first shows up for Obama in 86. Although, as you'll look at the documents I sent you, he allegedly, and I don't believe he did, he allegedly signed up for Selective Service in 1980. But you will see from the other applications for Selective Service in 1980, his is not the same as theirs.
Okay. I mean, I've got, right now I have here in front of me online verification. Selective Service Record Search Results.
Right.
All right. Search criteria, last name, Obama, Social Security number, same thing, the ends with 4425. Date of birth, 080461, matched record. So you found a matched record. Selective Service number of Barack Obama. 601-112-5539-1. Date of registration, 9/4/1980.
Correct.
Now, you ran this, this online verification. This has got the president. I mean, this has got
it's
the federal seal.
Site.
This has got the federal seal on it here.
That is a government site. And but if you try to run Obama's now, it won't come up.
They're hiding it now?
Yeah.
But you got a copy of it.
Yep, I got it before they shut it down.
So if we had prosecution, you've got something to enter into the court.
Oh, yeah. Of all the documents I sent you, they would all, with the exception of that one, they would be considered circumstantial. But the last one is the one that pulls everything together.
So the Selective Service Selective Service Agency is now hiding, concealing
yes.
Obama's Selective Service registration.
Right.
Which shows his Social Security number ending in 4425.
That's right. And that is going to turn out to have been the big mistake they made, because they have permanently tied that Connecticut Social Security number now to his Selective Service number.
On a federal website, on
right.
a federal database.
Right.
So that number, we now know, it's actually on three different databases. It's on Social Security.
Oh, it's on more than
yeah,
that.
But I mean, it's on Social Security Administration. It's
yeah.
in the Selective Service, and it's also the IRS.
Yes.
So if it's a fraudulent number, he is.
Oh, he has committed so many crimes. I wouldn't even begin to guess what they are.
Okay. Let's see.
If you look there. I ran one of his phone numbers that kept coming up with the different addresses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you before we move off the Selective Service. I have the copies of the actual Selective Service system certificate that's issued. It says Selective Service. All guys are going to know this thing. Selective Service system registration form. Read the Privacy Act statement on reverse. Please print clearly. We all remember doing this one.
Yep.
Okay. Date of birth, August 4, 61. Sex, male. Print full name, Obama. Last name, first name, Barack. Middle name, Hussein. Current mailing address, 1617 South, Baratania?
Yeah, something like that.
Apartment 1008, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96, looks like 826. Permanent residence, same as above. Area code, this is Obama's phone number at the time. Area code 808-949-2317.
Stop for one second.
Okay.
Because what you just read is permanent residency. Correct?
Yes.
And that was 1980 that he was supposed to fill that card out.
Yes,
right?
It says same as above.
Uh-huh. Now, but how did he get the Social Security number in March of 77? On the 1981, he gives an address as permanent residency.
That's right. This thing is dated 1980 is when he filled out the Selective Service.
Right.
He says his permanent residence was this 1617 South Baratania
yep.
Street, apartment 1008, Honolulu.
And that's where he lived when he was going to Punahou, which is where he was in March of 77.
Well, maybe he took a vacation that week to Connecticut as a 15-year-old and then decided while he was in Connecticut he would apply for a Social Security number. Wouldn't that work?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because he'd have to give his address in Connecticut where he was living.
Because if you were on vacation for a week and just decided, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and get my Social Security number, you would fill out the form with your address.
Right.
If you're on vacation, you don't put your vacation hotel down as the address.
No. And how would he, his family had no money. How would he afford to do that?
Now, for a family that had no money, they lived in several different countries.
Oh, yeah. He traveled a lot.
Well, didn't Ann Dunham work for the Rockefellers?
She worked for the Ford Foundation.
Ford Foundation.
Right.
Yes, she worked for the Ford Foundation.
The CIA front.
Okay. What isn't a CIA front?
Everything's the CIA front.
We can talk about Facebook. We can talk about all the social networking. We're talking about CIA operations. Okay, now the other one, I've not talked to you about this, that you sent to me. It was a copy. First name Bruce. Who was this?
I'm not sure.
Are you just showing me what a legitimate one looks like?
Oh, yeah. On the same page as
yes.
this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm showing you what I want you to look at is the date stamp.
Oh, okay.
You'll see on the date stamp on the other guy's.
Yeah.
It says 1980. What does it say on his?
The other one. Oh, okay. Okay, on the one. Okay, let's look at this one. Okay, Obama's Selective Service System registration was signed by Obama August 4th. Excuse me.
July 29th, I believe.
What was it here? Where is it? Yeah, July 30th. July 30th, 1980, is when Obama signed this Selective Service registration. Now, you sent me another Selective Service registration form from a man in Hawaii.
Right.
He signed it August 2nd, 1980.
Right.
2 days later.
Right.
Okay. Now, here's what we got here. On the date stamp, it's turned upside down on Obama's.
But what they've done is they could not find, that is obviously also fraudulent. Because
yes.
What happened is, I mean, there should be a second page there that has about six or eight more on it.
Wait a minute, Susan. Obama signed it July 30th, but the date stamp says July 29.
Right. And of all the ones I sent you, his is the only one that isn't date stamped with the same date.
Well, the other thing that's, and of course, possibly it's missing here, but in the year, the 19 is missing.
Right.
Whereas in the legitimate one, it clearly says August 2nd, 1980, and I can read around the perimeter, Honolulu, Hawaii. What is this? Can't read. What is this? Can't make out the second thing. MA something. But this is U.S. Post office on Obama's date stamp. I can't make out anything other than.
No.
July 29, 80.
Yeah, what they did is they made all this stuff up in 2008, and they couldn't find a 1980 stamp. So what they did is they took a 2008 stamp, cut off the first two and the zero, and then turned it upside down and stamped it that way.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know if you. I thought I had sent you a second sheet that had about.
Yeah, I do. I have that. That's the next thing. One, two, three, eight of them.
Yeah. What now? What's the year on those?
1980.
On every one of them.
Everyone, July 31st, 1980. Every one of them, and I can
read every.
And these are reduced. These are reduced on the page because you've got eight of them on the page.
Right.
And I can
read. They're all different people.
And I can read all of the date stamps.
Right.
But Obama's is very difficult to read. And it's much bigger.
It says 8-0 only.
8-0. Well, maybe he was Hawaii. Maybe he's Hawaii 8-0.
I mean, everything they did, it looks like it was. I mean, all these alleged things that he has, it looks like it was made by kindergartners.
What is? These guys are, I mean.
Well, you know what?
These are amateurs.
But it doesn't matter because nobody's going to do anything about it.
All right. I'm going to move on here with the Social Security Verifier Plus. Social Security number 04268-4425. Hey, what if I may print T-shirts this summer.
With I like it.
Obama's, on the front it says Barack Obama's fake Social Security number, 0426844425. And on the back of the T-shirt, I'll put, demand a federal prosecutor. And we'll do bumper stickers.
Sure.
Wow. I got to get working on this. I mean, we got to get this out here.
It stuns me because I've worked on this so hard and so long, and I've done, so many things have been written about the work I've done, and I'm stunned that so few people actually know about it.
They're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I keep thinking everybody knows because I've done everything I can.
Richard Nixon was forced to leave because he sent a couple burglars over to break into the Democratic Party headquarters.
Oh, yeah. And that's nothing compared to this.
We had a constitutional crisis. The Washington Post stayed on it endlessly until he resigned.
Yep.
There were impeachment hearings.
Yeah. There will be nothing with him because you at the beginning of the show, you said it all. He is a plant. And he is put in there by powerful people with a lot of money, and he is just the dummy up front.
And these powerful elitists have power over national law enforcement agencies, obviously the FBI.
Obviously.
And the CIA and Homeland Security and Immigration Service, all of them cower.
Yes.
In the sight of these global elite. They're cowards. They will not confront them.
Well,
obviously, Susan, where are the patriots in the FBI? Come on, FBI, come arrest me for giving out the president's social security number. I'm giving out the president's social security number. Come and get me, okay? If it's fake, it's fake. If I'm doing something wrong, come and shut me down. This is a fake social security number.
They can't do anything. I think that they're in a really interesting position. I expected people to come to my door immediately. I really did. But I didn't care. I said, this is not right, and I'm not going to sit quiet. And I thought I was going to get in a lot of trouble.
Now, they're going to ignore it.
They're going to ignore it because if they don't ignore it, they have to explain it.
That's right. Okay, this list here, addresses used by Barack Obama with his fraudulent social security number 0426844425. The famous one, 5046 South Greenwood Avenue, Chicago.
Yeah, that's his house.
That's his house, but he doesn't own the house.
No, he doesn't own the house. And what's really interesting is if you go to like Google Maps and you can bring up a picture of the house and you see all these Chicago police cars protecting the house 24 hours a day.
And Secret Service.
U.S.
Secret Service.
I'm not sure about the Secret Service, but
I can guarantee you they're out there somewhere in the bushes.
I don't know that for a fact.
No.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
But he does have police protection of a house that he doesn't own.
Well, and what's interesting is, if I lived in Chicago, I would be yelling at the top of my lungs about how much money is it costing to protect a house that he doesn't even own.
But who owns it?
But he does write the taxes off on his income tax.
He writes the taxes off?
Yeah. Well, I saw him on a video talking about how he'd paid $28,000 in taxes.
Okay, who owns the house, Susan?
I'm not sure.
It's in a trust. It's in the name of a trust.
Right.
And his tax accountant is one of the trustees, and he, I found out, is a longtime communist activist in Chicago.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
All right, let's go down some of these. I only got a few minutes here. 5450 South Eastview Park 1, Chicago.
It was a condo.
That was a condo.
And I believe, I only saw Michelle's name on that. I think she may have owned it when she met him.
Okay, 365 Broadway, Somerville, Massachusetts.
That's when he was going to Harvard. That was the address where he had all the parking tickets, the 14, 15 of them, that got paid all on the same day in 07.
Oh, well, maybe he got another job at Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah, it could be, full time.
Yeah, 300 Massachusetts Avenue, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think that might be this Senate building.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a residential. I know
no,
Massachusetts
I think
Avenue. That sounds like a Senate office building.
Yeah, I think it is.
But his fraudulent, fake, criminal Social Security number 04268 4425 linked to an official address in Washington D.C.
Oh yeah, that's because that's the one he uses.
Okay, we did 365 West Broadway, 5450 East View Park, Chicago.
Yeah, that again is the condo.
Okay, but it says date of birth 1890.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Historical record. Date of birth, 1890. Obama's phone number at the time. Area code 773-684-4809. The report date, October 1st, 1994. The person living there, Barack Hussein Obama, born in 1890.
Yeah, he looks good.
Oh, he's holding up great.
Yeah, he really does.
You know, Michelle's got him on all that organic vegetables
and
fruits.
Yeah, probably worked.
It's worked great. What else we got here? 54501 Southeast View, Chicago. Date of birth, 1961. I don't know what that one is. He's been around.
Yeah.
And holding up real good for a guy born in 1890.
Yep.
No wonder he wanted government health care. I mean, you're that old. You'd want to make sure that the government paid your medical bills. What are we going to do here, Susan?
Well,
we got Pastor Manning, you know, he taught me what a Mac Daddy is. I'm just a country boy, white boy from the country. I never heard of a Mac Daddy, but I know what a Mac Daddy is now.
And that's exactly what he is.
And I can put a face on the Mac Daddy.
Yep.
And I know what we're dealing with now. We are dealing with, I call him the presidential pimp. This guy is a street hustler.
Yes, he is. He always has been.
He's a street hustler. And he's jive-talked his way to the top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I was reading yesterday, though, that he has dropped out of favor with college kids because they no longer consider him cool. All the things they thought he was so cool for that made them vote for him.
Oh yeah, like he was gonna end the wars.
Oh yeah.
But he kept Bush as Secretary of Defense, and he started another war.
Yes, he did. Well, you know what? It's costing $100 million a day in Libya. He is determined to break this country financially, and that was a very easy way for him to spend another $100 million a day.
That's right, but it's really. Susan, I'm out of time on this, but I'll tell you what it's really about. Colonel Gaddafi had decided that he was going to convert the Libyan dinar into a gold-backed currency. He's got 146 tons of gold,
yep.
And he was demanding that the U.S. pay for oil with gold. He didn't want any more of the Federal Reserve notes, worthless paper.
Right.
And he wanted real gold. That's why we're bombing him.
He challenged
the international banksters. Because what are you going to do if you have to pay gold for oil? He said, "You want my oil? I want gold." Well, they're bombing him now. They're going to kill him. That's what this is all about. So,
and we have so much oil of our own that they won't let us drill for.
No, but China's drilling off the coast of Florida.
Oh, sure they are. Well, Obama gave, Brazil, Petrobras, $2 billion to drill.
Yeah,
and all that oil is going to go to China.
Yeah, but that's connected to George Soros.
Of course, because he is one of the principals in Petrobras.
And today he told Angela Merkel that the U.S. is going to help bail out Greece.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't read the article. Because the headline so infuriated me. I thought, don't do this to your blood pressure.
Wouldn't it be easier and quicker just for Greece to go to China? Because we're going to have to go to China, borrow the money from China, and then loan it, give it to Greece. Why not just go to Greece? I mean, why not Greece go to China? Yeah, what are we doing in it?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you stay at it. Don't give up.
I'm not going to.
I admire you. Private investigator, Susan Daniels. Thank you so much, Susan.
Oh, thank you, Rick, for having me. I really appreciate it.
I want to remind all of you that you have our permission to copy these programs and send them out to everybody you know. And I also want to challenge the FBI, the Homeland Security Department, the Social Security Administration, and the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to come here and shut me down if I'm broadcasting false information about the duly elected president of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America. I don't think they'll show up, because if they did, I would have the legal opportunity to legally challenge in federal courts the presidential pimp Barry Sotoro, or Harrison J. Bonnell, or Barack Muner Ubayad, the man with a thousand names, to prove to the world that the man in the White House is an imposter. People with immense power, influence, and wealth have orchestrated this man's life for decades. He was given a false identity at childhood. His name has been changed several times over his lifetime. He openly and fraudulently uses a Social Security number that was issued to somebody who was born in 1890. Who is the man in the White House? Who is his master? Who put him there? And who protects him? What is the agenda? And why are congressmen and senators and prosecutors and judges and FBI agents and Homeland Security agents and immigration officers, why are they afraid to challenge Obama's false identity? Now, while federal agents are too cowardly to arrest Obama, listen to this outrageous true story from Stockton, California. A young father was awakened at 6 a.m. yesterday by a SWAT team of heavily armed federal agents. They kicked in his door. The federal agents grabbed him by the neck, dragged him out of his house wearing only his underwear. They handcuffed him. They held him in a police vehicle for 6 hours, along with his three terrified children, ages 3, 7, and 11. What crime did Kenneth Wright commit that justified sending a SWAT team of heavily armed agents? Was he a drug dealer? Was he accused of murder, rape, or bank robbery? Which federal agency issued the arrest warrant and dispatched the heavily armed SWAT team? Was it the FBI, the U.S. Marshal's Office, DEA? No, it was the U.S. Department of Education. The feds were looking for his estranged wife, who was behind in her payments on her student loans. I'm not kidding you. You want to know why I won't stop talking about the presidential pimp Barack Hussein Obama? This criminal is getting away with federal crimes that would put you and me in a federal penitentiary for 30 years. And what are the federal agents doing? Nothing. Instead, they're dragging young fathers out of their home in their underwear because his wife didn't make her loan payments. Or they're raiding Amish farmers at 6 a.m., seizing raw milk. The U.S. federal government is out of control, and it must be stopped. We have entered an age of lawlessness. The criminals are now running law enforcement agencies. The baboons are running the zoo. I'm telling you, with God's help, I plan to take True News to national television. So move over Bill O'Reilly, move over Chris Matthews, move over Katie Couric. You're spineless. You work for the regime. You refuse to expose Obama's criminal connections. Now, my friends, some of you didn't donate when we were buying the building because you didn't think I was going to buy the building. You held back and said, I'll wait and see. Well, we did buy it. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to build a TV studio, and we're going to have a national TV program, God help us, and we're going to expose this criminal. Will you stand with me or not?